Welcome to Just a Minute. Yes. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the four exciting personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back two people to play the game a number of times, that is Peter Jones and Paul Merton. We welcome someone who's only played it twice before, that is Stephen Fry, and someone who's never played it before, that is Pete McCarthy. But would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Miriam Jones, who's going to keep the score, and she's going to blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And as usual, I'm going to ask our four panelists to speak in turn, if they can, on the subject that I give them, without hesitation, without repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card. We begin the show this week with Peter Jones. Peter, the subject is pale. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, the best-known pale I can think of is the one that Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch. Though even as a child, I was very doubtful about whether that was the real reason. I suspected that they were up there for a bit of rumpty-tumpty. Because, after all, water doesn't flow uphill. It tends to descend the incline.
Pete McCarthy, you've challenged.
Repetition of hill?
Yes, you went up that hill a bit too much.
Oh, yes. Surely uphill is one word, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Absolutely right. Uphill is one word.
May have gone uphill, but Pete hasn't played the game before, and I'm going to give it to him for hill.
Sure.
Pete, you have a point. You have.
But if you have such an advantage for never having done it before, what do you think my handicap is for having done it for 28 years? I've no chance at all.
There are 38 seconds for Pete McCarthy to tell us something about pale starting now.
Peter.
And the
hesitation.
Yeah. Yes.
It was a deep breath. I mean, I can't possibly speak and breathe at the same time.
I think you should take your breath before I say now, Peter. It was 2 seconds before you said anything. So, yeah. Peter, you have 36 seconds to take over the subject. Pale, starting now.
I've rather lost the thread of these two characters and what they were doing, but they were seeking H2O, I suppose. Or that's what we were told as children. But it was my...
Stephen Fry, you've challenged.
Mercy dash there.
Yes. Right.
Humanitarian mission.
Yes.
So, Stephen, you have 25 seconds, and the subject is still pale, and you begin now.
Alas, what can ail thee, knight at arms, alone and palely loitering? So wrote the poet John Keats many years ago. Pale is a word that means ashen. Pallid is almost a synonym, of course, but thankfully not a repetition. I sometimes feel immensely pale when I consider the prospect of having to speak for a minute without...
Oh, you only had 2 more seconds to keep going, Stephen. Paul Merton, you've got in with 2 seconds to go. The subject is pale, and you start now.
I woke up the other morning, and I looked at myself...
That whistle tells us that 60 seconds are up, and whoever is speaking that moment gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton, and at the end of the round, Paul has 2 points, and all the rest have one. Paul, will you start the next round? The subject, Dmitri Shostakovich. I don't know why they're laughing. He's probably one of your favourite composers. You have 60 seconds, as usual.
Paul, you now know he's a composer.
Seconds, Paul, starting now.
Dmitri Shostakovich, like his contemporary Igor Stravinsky, was Russian by birth, and his performance of his marvellous Third Symphony in 1921 stunned the Moscow crowd, who had never heard such marvellous chromatic scales before explored in the world of classical music. Unfortunately, by the time he was at the peak of his powers, which would be round about the 1940s, he brushed up against Joseph Stalin, who at that time was dictator of all the Russias. And this man said to Shostakovich, I want you to write music...
Stephen, why...
Well, he's the third music, in fact. I let the second one go because I was so aghast.
Yes, it was very impressive.
I don't know why it's impressive. I should have heard of one of the leading classical composers of the 20th century.
General... What was impressive was the amount of information you packed into the 35 seconds that you spoke.
It's all rubbish.
But it's the sort of stuff that would impress you. The audience have a general view that I'm fairly thick, but they are agreed that you're thicker than I am.
Stephen, you had a correct challenge of point. 25 seconds. Dmitri Shostakovich starting now.
I think it was Sir Thomas Beecham, the well-known conductor.
Paul.
Deviation, it wasn't. it's a mere rumour. It's a very popular fallacy, but he never did.
You
never. He was in a different country.
So your challenge presumably is deviation. We enjoyed the challenge, but it was incorrect. Stephen has another point. 24 seconds. Dmitri Shostakovich. Stephen, starting now.
The aforementioned baton swinger was asked if he'd ever conducted any Shostakovich, and he said no, but I once trod in some. He was not a great admirer of that.
Paul, challenge.
This is deviation, because he actually said it about Stockhausen.
He's quite right, you know. It's amazing what they teach in metalwork, isn't it?
Don't be fooled by the show business veneer. I never thought I'd say those words in anger. Not in that sweat.
16 seconds. Dmitri Shostakovich starting now.
Well, it was this geezer who wrote nice tunes, as far as I can work out, and people used to hear them in the Russian salons and...
And Stephen Chan.
It's our second Russian.
You did have a Russian before. 11 seconds are left for Dmitri Shostakovich with you. Stephen Fry starting now.
Dmitri Shostakovich was born in the latter part of the last century to parents who, as is common with Russians, both possessed fine moustaches. He had a loving upbringing and went to the conservatoire in the capital city.
Stephen Fry was speaking as the whistle wing, gained an extra point for doing so, and he's now taken the lead ahead of Paul Merton at the end of the round. And Stephen, it's your turn to begin. The subject, sweets. Will you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
Whenever I book into a fine hotel, I always insist on being given a suite. This is because I have an enormously sweet tooth. Ah, that's very amusing. No, as a matter of fact, it isn't the least bit amusing. However, sweet is one of those English homonyms. Sweets can mean sweet meats, as in confectionery, Mars, Galaxy, those kind of things. Well, I shouldn't mention brand names, I just have. I don't care, so there, yahoo. And, of course, it can also mean a collection of rooms in some kind of guest house.
Pete,
a repetition of mean.
Yes, it can mean a lot of different things.
And he was being mean, so he repeated it as well.
Yes. But you have a correct challenge, Pete McCarthy, and you have the subject. 36 seconds left, starting now.
Sweets or desserts, as they're called in some circles, have never really...
Stephen Fry.
Not the kind of circles that Radio 4 listeners are used to. It's incredibly non-new. I don't think we want to encourage you. The word is pudding, man. Brace up. We don't want to bury our nose in the trough of tenement.
What even a challenge,
Well, a deviation from the proper norms of social
decency. Stephen, if we're here to divide the nation over our educational background,
the
then I think it's
already divided, darling. I was merely drawing attention to the demarcation.
Pete, I disagree with the challenge, so you have a point. You have 33 seconds to continue on sweets, starting now.
Or puddings, as they were probably called in the minor public school which Stephen Fry attended, have never really...
Stephen challenged.
It was a major public school,
yeah.
He was waiting for a laugh, which rightly didn't come, because the audience were horrified.
I think the laugh did come, and he wrote it, actually. But, no, I think I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Pete, and say you didn't actually pause there. 27 seconds, sweets, starting now.
Are never something that really appealed to me. A little bit of cheese is rather nice at the end of an evening, but something that cloys and gnaws in the stomach until 3 or 4 in the morning is positively beastly. The thought of those currants reappearing in one's nightmares, possibly as the eyes of giant spiders or the...
Stephen Fry, your chance.
This is just babble from the sickbed. What he's talking about.
I think he has deviated from sweets more onto cheese and...
No.
He's talking about currants.
I was talking about currants that had been...
Giving
the currants
an
came in
shock.
After...
You don't get currants in cheese, Nicholas.
Nicholas.
Unless, of course, you go to a minor public school.
You second. Peter Jones' challenge.
You must remember, it's his first time here.
He's had generosity from the chairman. He's proved he's good at the game. He deviated before he got onto his currents. So Stephen had a correct challenge. There are 10 seconds for you, Stephen, on sweets, starting now.
One of the eternal mysteries of the world is what flavouring goes into the old English spangle. I don't know what it is that contained in that.
Peach, repetition of what?
Well, I mean, darling, you can play it this way if you like.
Well, as it was a correct challenge, we have to give it to you, Pete. 3 seconds on sweets, starting now.
Custard.
And two full
hesitation.
No.
Well, everybody else seemed to be having a go, so I'll enjoy it.
2.5 seconds on sweets, Pete, starting now.
White sauce seasoned with brandy. Can often...
Stephen Fries.
I thought I'd give him another point. It's his first time. He's going to collect all the massive score. I thought I'd make it
half a second, Pete, on sweets, starting now.
Sugar frequently.
So Pete McCarthy then, with some help from all the others, gained a number of points in that round, and including one for speaking as whistle went, and has taken the lead. Pete, will you take the next round? The subject, washing up. Will you tell us something about that mundane activity in 60 seconds, if you can? Starting...
Well, you don't play this game, isn't it?
Starting now.
Some people may prefer the solitude of an ashram or possibly a Jesuit monastery somewhere in the mountains, but I have...
Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation from the subject of washing up.
No, he is allowed to get on to it. He's only been going for 6 seconds.
Oh.
They probably do washing up in these mountains and these monasteries up there. So, no, I think that was a little bit sharp.
It's a bit tenuous, Nicholas, but thanks a lot.
54 seconds are left. Washing up, Pete, starting now.
But personally, I find my greatest moments of spiritual satisfaction and thought-making whilst doing the washing up. When one has one's hands in the hot water with the little lumpy bits at the bottom and is gazing out of the window onto the brick wall, all manner of things flash before the mind. I have been known to...
He has been known to hesitate.
Yeah. Stephen, correct challenge, 36 seconds, washing up, starting now.
I gaze across at Nicholas Parsons in his blazer and the phrase, "You're all washed up," crosses my mind. I can't... Washing up, however, to return to the main theme of the evening, is, of course, one of those awful chores that we're all expected to do. However, I possess a machine which does it for me. She's called Elsa, and she's extremely kind, and she does it for a small amount of money.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
Definitely done.
I just want to tell the audience, in case they think I'm being beastly, that literally it is a machine called Elsa. It's not a woman. That's all I wanted to make that clear. My toaster is called Terence.
Yes, we didn't.
My microwave is called Matty.
Yes. Yes.
My lunch is called Nicholas.
I'd hate you. Right, 17 seconds for you, Peter, on washing up, starting now.
At the end of a magnificent meal, my late mother-in-law used to say, "Now we'll all get up together and we'll all sit down likewise," because she liked people to enjoy washing up at the same time. And when 6 or 8 people all go into the kitchen and they put the dishes into this water, then...
Peter Jones, and speaking as the whistle went, gain that extra point. Peter, your turn to begin. The subject is sawing a girl in half. There are 60 seconds to tell us something about that subject, starting now.
I hate waste. But anyway, this can't be politically correct, can it, really, anymore? Surely conjurers are not sawing girls in half anymore as part of their entertainment. I think I've never seen it, but there must be some who are sawing men in half. But,
Stephen.
Well,
definitely. 42 seconds, Stephen, for you to tell us something about sawing a girl in half, starting now.
I agree with Peter. It's a messy business and one surely not to be desiderated in the modern world. However, there is a conjuring trick called sawing a girl in half, which doesn't actually involve sawing a girl in half, you'd be very pleased to know. It revolves around the idea of pretending to saw a girl in half, which is, of course, a fish of a very different liver. However, the main procedure involves, I believe, the knees being folded up into some clever, cunning fashion and toes and feet pointing out the end of the box or cabinet which is used for the purpose. And the audience is fooled into believing that a girl truly has been sawn, or sawed, because both words are permissible, in half, into a moiety, as Shakespeare might well have said. The trick goes back, in fact, to the 18th century, pre-Houdini, pre-many...
So Stephen Fry kept going magnificently on sawing the woman in half until the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's equal with Pete McCarthy in the lead, and in second place equal are Peter Jones and Paul Merton. And Stephen, it's your turn to begin. The subject, keeping the peace. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Well, I'll try and tell you something about the subject. I don't think there's much I know that you don't know yourself, really. But however, I repeat... Oh,
Stephen, you challenged yourself.
Repetition, no. I repeated no.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So that's a correct challenge.
Okay.
Well done.
Do I get a point?
Did you get a point for that?
It's a new way of playing the game, yes.
That's an outrage.
All I can do is to say yes, a point for that. Keep the subject. 55 seconds. Keeping the peace, starting now.
I bought some bird's eye cod pieces.
Yes, Peter, you challenged. He hesitated.
Oh, yes, he did.
God, you were quick on the buzzer there, Peter. I must say, yes. 52 seconds, Hugh, but you'd tell us something about keeping the peace, starting now.
Well, I think I'd be an ideal person to keep the peace. I shouldn't bother anybody. Lie in a hammock in the garden with my friends Tom Collins, Johnny Walker, and a few others. And I would be so placid and unaggressive that the peace could go on lasting for 100 years, or as long as I did. But, however, there are other people in the world who are...
Stephen Chubb.
Well,
touch the old. Yeah, there was a touch of the ears there. 31 seconds, Stephen. Back with you. Keeping the peace, starting now.
The United Nations is said to be a peacekeeping force and contains elements in it which have managed to hold various rickety pieces throughout our recent history, I suppose. However, I do think...
Stephen.
I did pause again in the middle of that bit. I was saying...
No, actually, you didn't pause.
Oh, didn't I? Incorrect
that's an
challenge.
Incorrect challenge.
Oh, it was a risk. I had to take the risk.
You had to take the risk. So you have now given me the
with you, Nicholas Parsons, you have just 11 seconds left on the subject. Starting now. You hesitated.
Keeping the peace is one of the most difficult things if you are chairman of Just a Minute. You notice that the four active and highly strung and emotionally excited...
Yes. You're hopeless. Right. Mostly.
So you've got the
sense.
Subject back again, Stephen, and 17 seconds on keeping the peace, starting now.
There are other organs of state and enterprise whose endeavour to keep the peace has failed over the history of the world. The League of Nations.
Paul Merton Challenge.
Repetition of history.
Yes, you had a bit more of history before. That's yes, well, listen, Paul. 10 seconds, Paul, if you tell us something about keeping the peace, starting now.
I had this chess set at home that I was very pleased with, and I was quite proud of it because I'd carved it myself.
Pete McCarthy Challenge.
Deviation, surely.
Why?
He's obviously going to talk about the peace that he kept.
Well, he's only got 9 or 10 seconds. He hasn't got round to it yet. I think he was displaying a great deal of urgency, was all.
Well, it wasn't a great deal of urgency, but I think he was just coming on to the peace that he'd carved. Paul, you had 3 seconds, keeping the peace, starting now.
Nothing I like better to do than go round to next door. He said, I nothing like I better to do. I heard it. I'm sat next to him. I heard it.
His first eye, lack of urgency. I've just given you urgency.
Well, I didn't mean that. Urgent.
Paul, despite his accent, is from the north, and his first eye was spelled A-Y-E. Is it I?
Paul Merton, you have 1 second on keeping the peace, starting now.
Huge, great...
Stephen Fry is still in the lead. Pete McCarthy follows, then Paul Merton and Peter Jones in that order. And Pete, it's your turn to begin. The subject, Rhodes. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
The empire builder Cecil Rhodes once said, "Remember that you are an Englishman and consequently have won the first prize in the lottery of life." Unfortunately, he said it to a zebra because he'd had a few drinks at the time. But despite this...
Stephen Fry Chung.
No, it's just simply not possible because a zebra couldn't have transmitted this famous remark.
But there might have been witnesses to it.
Yeah, there might have been a couple of monkeys or something.
He actually said it at a lecture in Oxford when setting up the Rhodes Scholarship Prize.
It doesn't matter.
Truth out the window, shall we, Nicholas?
Spoken like an Oxford don.
Well, he might have had a whole audience there. They might have got him drunk and then taken him out there, see what he'd say to the zebra. Anything.
Meanwhile, on planet Earth...
Pete McCarthy, 47 seconds, Rhodes, starting now.
So the man's name was given to the country called Rhodesia, which nowadays is known as Zimbabwe. I've only been there once, and by a coincidence, I only know one person.
Paul Merton Challenge.
Repetition of only.
Yes, and one. Well done, Paul. 37 seconds, Rhodes, starting now.
Well, down the end of my road, there's Nellie Clackett, and she's a wonderful woman because she goes out every morning and sweeps the street outside her own house, and she's...
Stephen Fry.
The very best, he's only talking about one road, not Rhodes, which is on the card.
But doesn't matter? I mean, the subject is roads. You can talk about this road, that road, whatever you like. He's talking about that particular road.
I'm beginning to hate you, Nicholas. I really am. Never mind. Carry on.
What's taking you 28 years?
Yeah. Right, 28 seconds for roads with you, Paul, starting now.
Where I live.
Susan Challenge, yes.
I think he planted that pause in order to give me a point because he knew he was wrong originally.
No, I don't think he knew that.
But still, it was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation. Mm. 26 seconds, Rhodes with you, Stephen, starting now.
The Colossus of Rhodes, I believe, was one of the great wonders of the world, so-called. There were seven of those. That was only a single example of the species. The island is between Turkey and Greece and contains many historical and antique venerable memorials. I've never visited
it. Peter, you challenged again. It's actually between Turkey and the North African coast.
You ought to get an electrician in, Peter.
Yeah.
Would you press your button?
No.
Well, you press it harder next time, will you?
Because Nicholas, darling. Yes. Angel, baby. Mm. I want to know two things. One, my mother is recording this. Two, if you deny me this challenge, I shall devote the rest of my life to hunting you down and killing you. I said that I believed Rhodes was between Turkey and Greece, and that is true. I did believe it. I now no longer do, because you told me it's somewhere else. But that is, I rest my case on that fact. I can say I believe that Cecil Rhodes talked to a bloody zebra, apparently. But I can't say that I believe, in all ignorance, that Rhodes is between Turkey and Greece without leaping down my throat.
I never thought you could be so passionate about gaining a point in a game.
It's Steve. Justice.
It's justice.
Another word you probably don't know about, it's called honour. I'll spell it for you.
You'll notice he doesn't behave in this bizarre and crazed fashion on the Labour Party advertisements.
Peter, I think your challenge was reasonable, even if you believed it. I think technically he was deviating within the rules of just a minute.
But stating my belief is deviating.
I don't want to interfere with his beliefs.
Peter.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about roads. You have 8 seconds starting now.
The roads all around our neighborhood are dug up every day, and they put pipes, tubes, wires, sewers, everything. There's no minute.
Well, Peter Jones is speaking as the whistle. Won't gain an extra point for doing so. But Stephen Fry, fortunately, is still in the lead. Is that...
No thanks to you, honey.
And I have this audience here as witnesses to the fact that he's now going to hunt me down and try and kill me, so...
I think you can probably get sponsorship if you really...
Right, Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject, good value. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Well, as it happens, I think good value, the best value, in fact, in the country today, is the radio, because it costs nothing, and it goes on 24 hours a day. You can get foreign stations abroad, you can get the best music in the world, and you don't have to do anything except buy or acquire a wireless set, which I did after I'd been working on this program for about 12 years. I saved up and I bought my own little set, which is British, Roberts, never even heard of Japan, and it's ideal. And I get hours of pleasure from it, much more than I would television. I'd be prepared to pay a larger license fee for its use than I do for the TV. But then it's a matter of taste, I suppose. And all these people tonight, of course, are very happy to be missing what the airwaves are pumping out visually. And I'm very pleased for them because they seem so jolly, don't they? All these characters who are sitting here. I don't know what time it is, but the news will be on fairly soon.
You went so magnificently for 60 seconds, I was wondering how much longer you could go on, actually, because you actually went for 65 seconds.
No.
So you not only get a point for speaking when the whistle should have gone, but also you get a point for not being interrupted. You have two more points at the end of that round. You see, I do look after you, Peter.
The result?
Well, you have moved forward from fourth to third place.
Yes, well... Yes.
No, there's only one point separating Paul Merton, Pete McCarthy and Peter Jones, but a little way out in the lead is Stephen Fry. And, Stephen, this is going to be the last round, and the subject is biceps. Will you start on the subject now?
I bought some seps not long ago from a famous department store in Fortnum & Mason's. They're a kind of fungoid arrangement, a mushroom, really, French, extremely valuable, highly expensive, but delicious in sauces. They were hugely dear, you've no idea. Dried they came, sort of reconstituted by soaking in water. That was the aim of the thing. Biceps also, of course, probably didn't know this, means a set of muscles in the upper arm. I don't possess a very sound pair of biceps, being a very unfit gentleman. I regard fitness, particular upper body strength, as I believe they call it.
Stephen, you challenged
me. I repeated upper.
I know you did.
So I thought
you...
I'd, before anybody else got in.
I know.
Well, I was a second behind.
So Paul got in.
No, I didn't.
You don't want biceps?
No, not really.
No.
I can't be bothered. I really can't. Killing you, yes, but that I can really get interested in, but...
Peter, why do you keep challenging?
Because he repeated, I can't be bothered.
Seconds left for biceps, Stephen, starting now.
I think there's something to do with lifting and strength, vigour, high sinew power, that kind of nonsense. I don't believe it's a sign of respecting the body to look after things like your biceps. My own corporeal essence is best respected by being sat in a large armchair and given cigarettes and coffee, not by pounding away in some gymnasium. So, my own biceps are
Peter,
a pretty sorry
state. You challenged again. Your biceps. Yes, he was deviating from the subject.
Was he? I think what Peter meant was a repetition of my own, because it wasn't a deviation, but it was a repetition
it
of my own.
It was deviation. You got no, onto your own whatever you were. Just...
My body, dear, your, which
your
is where my
body,
biceps
yeah. live. You used a word...
When you keep yours in a pot parts. Somewhere in a fridge.
You went onto other parts of your body other than your biceps.
I went into the body itself.
But he correctly challenged for my own. And 8 seconds, Peter, for you to finish on biceps, starting now.
They can be developed if you lift weights all the time, but it's a very tedious business. You have to go to a gymnasium, risk being photographed and having your face...
Well, as I said, this will be the last round. We have no more time to play. Just a minute. Let me give you the final score. They're all very close. Paul Merton, for once, finished in fourth place, just behind Pete McCarthy. In second place, coming with a canter at the end, was Peter Jones. But he didn't quite catch Stephen Fry, who was out in the lead, and so he is the winner this week. That you have all enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. It only remains for me to say thank you on behalf of Peter Jones, Stephen Fry, Paul Merton and Pete McCarthy, also Miriam Jones, who's kept the score, the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, our producer, Sarah Smith, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, and all of us here. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you've enjoyed it, and you'll be with us the next time we take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Till then, goodbye. Thank you.